Pastor Xavier Rees says you can rest assured divine judgment is but a simple truth.
There are countless of people who go to church every Sunday, and their lifestyle is an abomination to God. And their rational is, well, he hasn't done nothing to me. He must approve of my lifestyle. Well, be patient. He'll get to you. These were the reasons for Jerusalem stumbling and Judah falling. Do you think that this might be one of the reasons why America is stumbling and falling?
Welcome to Simple Truths, the daily half-hour study of God's Word with Xavier Rees, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. Trends in society eventually come full circle as evidenced in clothing, music, and hairstyles from decades past becoming fashionable once again. But as we'll see, some of the more serious spiritual shortcomings have a way of resurfacing too. Pastor Xavier walks us through Isaiah's prophecy of condemnation of chapter 3, where we'll see some undesirable trends that bear an eerie resemblance to the ungodly tendencies today. But more importantly, as we'll see in the simple truths of Scripture, such rebelliousness does not exactly go unnoticed by God. Let's listen.
Isaiah chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1 all the way to chapter 4, verse 1. The message is entitled, Natural Judgment is Often Divine Judgment. We're familiar with the phrase, history repeats itself, and it is most applicable to the average lifespan of every civilization. A study in history shows that the greatest civilizations of the world have averaged about 200 years. The people of the world have followed this timetable pretty consistently. And one put it this way, the people go from slavery to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back to bondage. We, as America, are not the exception, but also part of the rule. In 1962, the Supreme Court banned prayer and the sayings of prayer in school. In 1963, the court banned the reading of the Bible in public schools. Do you realize you can go to Russia right now, you can get on a plane, go to Russia, and you can go into any public school system and teach the Bible? You can preach, you can pray, but you cannot do that in an American school? Kind of a turnaround, isn't it? And it really hasn't been that long. Our national leaders and lawmakers at that time in the early 60s took a stand against everything the nation stood for and was founded on, resulting in the beginning of an onslaught of natural consequences that I believe are as much part of God's judgment as those in the days of Isaiah. I cannot help but to see a parallel between Isaiah and ourselves as I read his book. A person would have to be completely blind not to see this, just willingly ignorant to acknowledge it. President Woodrow Wilson stated, quote, a nation which does not remember what it was yesterday does not know what it is today, nor what it is trying to do. We are trying to do a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or where or what we're about. Would to God we had more politicians who had God in view. It would be much better for the nation. Now, the judgment of God against Jerusalem and Judah here was manifested in the most natural consequences. And it's described through the prophet Isaiah in terms of social dynamics. It's interesting. And they're characterized by three elements. So as we go through this chapter, in chapter 3 down to 4, verse 1, and again, the natural division is always best for the text, not the way it's been divided. Sometimes it's not in the best place. Okay, I'll get a little more into that tonight, but that's why I've divided it the way I have. But let me read, because you have to get the sense of the whole thing. Let me read it, and I know it's lengthy, so bear with me, and then I'll give you the three elements, and we'll take one at a time. He says, for behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable men, the counselor, the skillful artisan, the expert enchanter. I will give children to the princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by one another, and every one by his neighbor. The child will be insolent towards the elder, and the base towards the honorable. When a man takes hold of his brother in the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let these wounds be under your power. In that day, he will protest, saying, I cannot cure your ills, for in my house is neither food nor clothing. Do not make me a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem stumbleth, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The look on their countenance witnesses against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. The Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of the people and his princes. You have eaten up the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding their faces as the poor, says the Lord of hosts. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, they walk with outstretched necks, wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling in their feet. Therefore, the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the finery and jingling anklets, and the scarves, and the crescents, and the pendants, the bracelets, and the veils, and the headdresses, and the leg ornaments, and the headbands, the perfume boxes, and charms, and the rings, the nose rings, the festal apparel, and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses, and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans, and the robes. And so it shall be, instead of sweet smell, there will be stench. Instead of sash, a robe. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of rich robe, a girding sackcloth, and branding instead of beauty. Your men shall fall by the sword, and your mighty in the war. Her gaze shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit on the ground. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. The judgment of God against Jerusalem and Judah was manifested in the most natural consequences, as described here through the prophet Isaiah. And he describes them in social dynamics, which is characterized by three elements. First of all, the reprisal of social instability. The reprisal for social instability is found in verses 1 through 7. Then you have the reasons for social instability in verses 8 through 15. And then he finishes by giving us the reminder of the heart of social instability in verses 16 down to the first verse of chapter 4. So you have the reprisal of reason and the reminder. Remember, these were literal things that took place, and they are a warning to us. The New Testament says all things were written for our admonition, for our learning, lest we come to the very same place. Let's begin here with the reprisal of social instability. Notice, first of all, in the first three verses, God would remove the nation's resources. The basics for life would be removed. Verse 1, the context is the day of the Lord in the latter days, which discourse began in chapter 2. It goes from chapter 2, 3, and 4. So when you go through Isaiah, you need to read carefully so you understand when it's a unit. This is a unit. So when we're reading here in chapter 3, it began in chapter 2. It goes all the way to chapter 4. You find the reference to the latter days of the day of the Lord in 2:1, 2:12, 2:20, 4:1. You see it repeated. So it's in the context. Now the prophecy has a short-term fulfillment. The day of the Lord, you know, has an immediate present fulfillment, often in prophecy, and then a long-term fulfillment. They were talking about the judgment through Assyria, through Babylon, but the ultimate, the latter days, the day of the Lord, day of tribulation, great tribulation. So often Old Testament, short-term, long-term. So you must keep that in mind. Now, the prophecy, again here, notice that the one doing the removal is who? The Lord of hosts. These are not just happenstance that take place. The term is used by Isaiah throughout the book. It is the Lord of hosts, the captain of the armies of heaven, the one who fights against them. There comes a time when God fights directly against people and nations. It is his hand. It is evident throughout scripture. It is evident throughout history. You cannot deny it. Now notice the first Lord, there's two words for Lord. And as you have the capital L small and lowercase letters and then all capitals, the first one, the capital L in small case letters, it speaks of Adonai or Adonai, meaning like Lord, Master, Owner. And whenever you read all capitals, it's the name of God, Yahweh. He's a covenant God. So the one who is doing this is the one who owns them and the one who has made a covenant with them. They are accountable to him. They are not left to themselves. That's very important. It is the Lord who will take away the stock in the store. Notice that. That's a phrase that is used to refer to the thoroughness of it, completeness of it. It's like saying, I'm going to take away all the food in your house, including the pantry. All gone. In other words, there's not going to be no reservoirs, nothing. It's going to be complete. From the whole supply of bread to the whole supply of water, the most basic needs. Have you ever thought about the basic needs that you can go to a tap of water and just turn it on and you have water? But most of the world doesn't. That you can go to your refrigerator and just take food. That you can go to the store anytime during the day and get some milk. You see, the rest of the world knows this. America doesn't. And yet, as we move on, like we are isolated from the whole world, we know that difficult times can come. Even in the natural resources, as we've already seen much of that in the years past. It's from Jerusalem and Judah, very specific. Notice in verse 2, secondly, the basics for government would be removed. The mighty men of war, both soldier and officer, will be taken away. The judges and prophets, those who administer justice and call to lead, are pulled back. Because the prophet was called when the priesthood had failed. The prophet says, return to God. And there came a point where God will pull back the prophets also because they wouldn't hear. The diviner and the elder, those who of the cultic insight and experience. Notice here again the mixture of truth and error. We see that in our own nation. We see all that I'm saying here in our own nation where there's a blending of truth and the occult. We see police departments depending on the paranormal, parapsychologists to help them in solving crimes. Notice verse 3, the basics for military strength would be removed, thirdly. The captain of 50, those who are officers over the troops. The honorable men, those who have character and are looked up to. The counselor, the skillful artisan, the expert enchanter, referred to the advisors of state along with the inquiry of secret arts and the enchanters through mediums. Once again, we see the integration of God's truth with practices of paganism. Look at chapter 2, verse 6 real quickly. He says, for you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. They are pleased with the children of foreigners. Well, you talk about the inroads that the eastern mindset set into the 60s in America. The New Age movement is the same thing, no different. And we see the American public going head over heels over it, depending on it, building their houses, painting certain colors, setting furniture a certain direction, everything else. Boy, crystals, pyramids. Incredible. All these things will be removed. Natural judgment has a divine hand behind it. Notice secondly here in verse 4 and 5. God will replace their leaders with unqualified individuals. This is heavy. With unqualified individuals. He says their leaders would be experienced or inexperienced and self-centered in verse 4. Notice what he says. God would give them children to be their princes, referring to boys and youths who have not proven themselves competent to lead. God would give them babes to rule over them, referring to capricious ones, unreasonable and self-will. Look to some of our leaders in the Senate, in the Congress. It's amazing. Their local people would be ruthless. Look at verse 5. There would be violent oppression of people by the people, neighbor against neighbor, a form of anarchy. You would have to be blind not to see it in our own streets. People oppressing people, neighbor against neighbor, due to the lack of consequence of their guilt. No one does anything about it. Due to no power of the ruling authorities. See, when you take away consequences, you destroy authority. Parents, it's real easy. If you do not discipline your children and bring consequences to them, your house is anarchy. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Now take that a step forward from home to society. But it's magnifying society because there's more people. There would be no respect towards those of authority and in authority. The child will be insolent and arrogant towards the elder. That doesn't happen in our society, does it? The elder refers to the age. When's the last time you saw a group of young men who helped an elderly man across the street or because he needed help or something like that? You don't see that. There's no respect for it. The base towards the honorable, the base where the light esteem, those who were not honorable would not honor those who deserve honor. I don't care where you are. If you're in the supermarket and if you're there with your wife and you've got a group of young men behind you who don't know Christ, let me tell you, they're not going to care how they talk. They'll be talking in the most profane way without any concern about who is around. All boundaries have been blurred. Verse 6 and 7, their local homes would have no confident heads, no one willing to lead. One would ask his brother to lead in verse 6, and his brother in verse 7 would refuse by virtue of the fact that he was in the same impoverished condition, and he would have an attitude of a coward in terms of leading. Look to our nation. Men are not leading their homes. Men are not leading our nation. There is a void of leadership in our nation and the world at large, and also in the church. And for that reason, the Antichrist is going to be embraced wholeheartedly. The world is in desperate need and in a desperate search for a leader. Benjamin Franklin, in his speech at the Constitutional Convention, said, quote, "God governs the affairs of men. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in the political building no better than the builders of Babylon. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our project will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to the future ages." He spoke as a prophet now that we see it. America is mocked throughout the world for our leaders and for our lifestyle. How we have seen our nation's dependency erode in the last 30 years. The automotive industry has been lost to the Japanese market and abroad. Remember the oil embargoes of the 70s, the gas lines? And so we went from these big cars to smaller cars, four-cylinder. But we haven't learned, have we? Because we've been very slowly and progressively been pushed to six cylinders. We're right back up to eights again. How interesting. The American industry, exports raw material abroad to Japan, to other nations, and then we buy it back, we import it. That's the definition of a colony. America is not the leading nation. She's a colony of the world. Governmental leaders of character have been slowly but surely removed from our nation. It's part of judgment. Our assemblymen and congressmen are caught receiving bribes and embezzlements often. Our city councilmen are taking drugs. And then they have the nerve to fight for their office still. Our political arena is a mess. The police officers sometimes are worse than the ones that are arresting. But you ask yourself why? Because we have lowered the standard. And God has removed righteous men out of those places because they can't survive in there. The cold-blooded and callous violence that is an everyday occurrence in our homes and streets is undeniable. Violent instance, lack of parental guidance or supervision is the rule of the day. Innocent children are shot by drive-by gangbangers without any second thought. The bold disrespect for parents and all other authority is everywhere. Liberal permissiveness of our educational system equips and facilitates our children to live a depraved and godless life without the concern of the parents. They don't care. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. This was a reprisal for their social instability. Who was doing it? God. Now, I'm sure many of them said, it's just part of the thing. It's not God. You may say, you're getting a little extreme, X. I mean, you know, this is just natural things. It is. But I guarantee you that God uses natural things to judge his people and to judge the world. Notice, second, he gives us the reason for the social instability. Of course, they're not exhaustive, but he gives some very key ones. In verse 8, first of all, their spiritual state was degenerated. The first reason is their speech against the Lord. Their tongues utter words against God and his word. Do you realize that in this nation at one time, men and women were thrown in jail and in prison for blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ? And yet never has religious rights been denied. But if you attack Jesus Christ or the Bible, you were prosecuted? I gave you some of those statistics in America when I did the study there. The proclamation of their obedience is a contradiction to their lives. The average American declares they're Christian because, of course, they're American. They have no idea. These were the reasons for Jerusalem stumbling and Judah falling. Do you think that this might be one of the reasons why America is stumbling and falling? The second reason is for their deeds against the Lord. They keep coming to the temple and offer sacrifice. We saw that in chapter 1. They keep seeking God's face as if he will listen. They worship other gods and their practices, and they are abominable, desecrating the courts of God. There are countless of people who go to church every Sunday, and their lifestyle is an abomination to God. And their rational is, well, he hasn't done nothing to me. He must approve of my lifestyle. Really? Well, be patient. He'll get to you. He's in no hurry. A third reason is given in verse 8 at the end there. The provocation of the eyes of his glory. They tempt God by going beyond the boundaries he set. You bring that baby home. He starts walking around. You say, don't touch that. And you walk away and you look back. You go, don't touch it. He goes, God has said, don't go there. And America says, we're going to go. And we cross and we look. Nothing happened. Well, I guess it's okay. Really.
Pastor Xavier Rees providing the warning and simple truth from Scripture that your sin will find you out. And copies of this study entitled Natural Judgment is Often Divine Judgment are available on CD, as always, for only $4. Contact us and mention the title Natural Judgment is Often Divine Judgment. Now get in touch for your copy of the study Natural Judgment is Often Divine Judgment, available for just $4. You can request your copy by writing Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. Or to make your request by phone, call 800-926-1485. Again, that's 800-926-1485. Or the address once again is Simple Truths, 2200 East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena, California, 91107. And please be sure and include the call letters of this station somewhere in your correspondence. This is another tool we use to track the impact of this outreach in your area. As God's creation, we're given free will to live however we choose. However, if we choose a life of rebellion, Scripture gives fair warning that God will not be mocked. Join Pastor Xavier Reese next time for more simple truths from the book of Isaiah. Simple Truths with Pastor Xavier Reese, a daily half-hour broadcast, is a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Pasadena, California. www.calvarychapelpasadena.com.